Lexington, where the headquarters of Long John Silver's are, so they're all over the place there.
The issue with the Long John Silver's I stopped at is that it was a combo KFC Long John Silver's, yeah, so it had potato wedges instead of the Long John fries. Which, I mean, it still had hush puppies, and it still had the fryer drippings in there and the plankton. Yeah. I mean, everything was delicious, except I got, you know, fucking KFC potato wedges instead of thin fries. Can I tell my story yet?
Not yet.
They're still listening to Dream Evil.
No, that's right there.
Dream Evil's not playing anymore.
Yeah.
So anyway, the proper way to eat at Waffle House is to go to McDonald's first.
Okay.
Because then you go into the McDonald's and you say, hey, I just went through the drive-thru and they forgot to give me any butter packets. Please give me some butter packets. And then they give you some butter packets, which you pocket.
And specifically McDonald's butter packets.
Huh?
It has to be McDonald's butter packets.
Well, that's the easiest place to do it at. But if there's anywhere else that you can just walk in and lie to them and claim that they owe you butter, it's just most restaurants you can't do that.
Okay, can I go in with like a stick of butter, though? Will that work?
If you bring an actual stick of butter, but okay, it's easier to have the butter packets. Because the issue is you need to go into the Waffle House prepared and armed. You need to order everything dry. Mm. Otherwise, they put chemical cancerous sludge on top of all of your food, which is illegal in this state for a fucking reason.
I just imagine walking into a place with a with just like a stick of butter just in your pocket.
I like Paula Deen it up.
Yeah. But I mean, thing is though, butter melts at a very, very low temperature.
Yeah, so you're on a clock.
So but I mean, yeah, you're on a clock. Unless you're in Wisconsin, then you could get away with it.
You know it's starting to get the colder time of year because in the morning I've been making my breakfast and the butter in the crock on the counter is not soft anymore. It isn't refrigerator hard, but it sure ain't soft.
Yeah, this is definitely the time of the year of like, when do we start turning the heat on? Yeah. I'm like, I think I can make it one more day. That's how our house is right now.
It turns out that day was yesterday because I wasn't home to say no. She texted me. She's like, heat's on.
No, that's an interesting strategy for Waffle House because mine's a little different. Mine is you go out and you drink a lot, and then you drink some more. And then you think to yourself, oh, my God, tomorrow is going to be terrible because of how much I drank. Then you go to Waffle House, and anything that happens at Waffle House is going to be nothing in comparison to the next morning.
I mean, so in Wisconsin, it is admissible in court.
In Wisconsin, you just did that at George Webb.
Right. And I do your thing also. It's just that in addition, I don't eat margarine. So I'm still fucking drunk. Don't get me wrong. I'm just drunk with butter.
Yeah.
Geezy it up.
You're where his spot is normally.
We're being tweak haunted by Brian Geese right now.
Tweak and crank. He's ripping the eyes out of my fucking Domo Stay Puffed. I was like, give me that guy. It's abusive.
Yeah. This guy, I don't know I what this year's Game Hole Con.
It's an Otiug.
It's a what?
An Otiug.
A what?
An Otiug.
A what?
An Otiug. I don't know if there's an official pronunciation for it. That's the letters I look at, and that's the sounds that come out of that. Somebody is now going to inform me that I have been looking at that and saying, oh, it's a fucking garbage monster and pronouncing it wrong.
Oh, it's a garbage monster.
Yeah.
It's literally a garbage monster?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean an Otiug?
Yes. One of those.
What?
It's a garbage monster.
No. I was hoping Dan was going to say what, and he didn't follow the pattern.
What? What? Get him.
I will have to get another one because I love the Game Hole Con plushies. And actually, my 7-year-old son, Lars, has a lot of plushies, and his favorite is the Mimic plushie.
Is this the fourth Owlbear Mimic, whatever that stupid land armadillo thing was?
Boulette.
Boulet.
Mine's to bluff. That's my Miracle Max impression.
It's basically Land Shark is what it is.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And so this...
It was the Owlbear, then the Land Shark, then the Mimic, and now
And now the Oubliette.
Yeah.
So, Oscar.
Oh. Wow. My performance was that good?
From Sesame Street.
Yeah. I didn't know you saw my performance on Sesame Street, nor that it was Oscar-worthy.
Speaking of bad old kid stuff.
Wait. Wait, what?
Yeah.
How is any of this bad?
Have you seen the
This is bad, but how is Sesame Street or Oubliettes or Land Sharks bad?
Have you seen the horrible fucking Scott Walker attack ad on Tony Evers?
I've recently seen several horrible attack ads on Tommy Evers. My favorite is the one accusing him of not taking a teacher out of a school who watched porn on the school computer.
Sure.
I looked into it.
Yeah.
He specifically attempted to do so, was told he didn't have the power to do so, and then put forth a motion to give himself the power to do so in the future if such a situation ever arose.
Correct.
And now, of course, the attack ads are blaming him for not doing it.
No, oh, and don't forget the fact that he had to compromise on not being able to retroactively do it.
Correct. And he wanted to retroactively. He desperately, desperately begged to do this thing that they wouldn't let him do and now are blaming him for not doing because they're fucking monsters.
It's a great time to be in that school district.
But the new attack ad that I've seen for the fucking Walker, friends of Scott Walker, is, I think it's straight from the electric company. Or if it was Sesame Street, I can't remember which one it was, but it's the two silhouetted faces,
that's
and they both say
that's electric company.
Yeah, they both say a syllable, and then they match the words together.
Yeah, except the faces was electric company. A two-headed monster was Sesame Street.
Yeah, the two-headed monster was
But it's the same general thing.
But it was the two silhouetted faces, and they're both making words, and they show up in the center.
Yeah,
but they don't know how to do it. I mean, they start off well, and then they I don't understand why they're using the fucking electric company as a
I'm just amused that it was a very short mental leap from garbage monster to governor of Wisconsin.
What? Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? Are talking about similes?
Oscar the Grouch never cost me a goddamn high-speed train connecting the Twin Cities to Madison to Milwaukee to Chicago to Springfield.
This is a teachable moment here. Now, if I say the governor of Wisconsin is like a garbage monster, that's a metaphor. If I say the governor of Wisconsin is a garbage monster, that's a simile.
So it's a simile. No, what you're wrong. It's not a simile because you're saying it would be a simile if it was not true. So it's more like saying a cloud is a mass of water vapor. That's not a simile. That's just scientific accuracy.
That's a definition.
Scott Walker is an inhuman pile of shit who can fucking die. That's a scientific fact.
It's right here in my journal.
And of course, to any of our Republican listeners out there, fuck you.
And welcome to Crippled System, episode 252.
Burn all the bridges.
So I find it slightly funny. My name is Andy, by the way.
My name's Nathan.
My name is Dan.
I'm Dave, and I'm not sure if I'm playing Protectorate or Retribution right now.
We're not doing that anymore. We're just saying our names.
Oh. We gave up on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't play and we can't pick.
Dude, I'm playing a Cambi deck right now. It feels great.
See what you did?
It occurred to me, because everything's being milled for full value in a month, I can craft whatever I want just to experiment with it, because it's not like I'm stuck with garbage. I'm getting a full refund next month, so I'm like, fuck it. Cambi deck. It's great. That's like building a list around Nail.
That's a game within a game, and it's a game?
Yeah. I mean, we mocked that, but I'm pretty sure all four of us have done that.
Build a list around Nail?
Yes.
Yeah.
Feels kind of fun. Like, you know it won't work, but when it does work, it's glorious, and you feel great doing it because your opponent's like, what the hell?
I gave my opponent, like, the dream matchup when I played Nail against him, and I played a game within a game, and I lost because his Earthborn had like 10 attacks that turn.
Yeah, don't put Nail there.
Yeah. Well, the Earthborn threw something at him, and then was able to continue attacking. Yeah, it was not good.
No, my current favorite doing that is take Lanissa with Gorshade 4, because then you have this horrible jank, and you tell your opponent that you've got this horrible jank, and you just ignore it all game, but they're afraid of it because it's ridiculous.
Let me simile or metaphor. I just want to stress how amazing Cambi is in this fucking game. Think War Machine.
Yeah.
Now take Nail.
Yeah.
Now imagine that when Nail dies, it destroys everything on the battlefield except for the two Warcasters, fully heals them, and then gives your opponent a death check.
Okay.
Okay.
It's amazing. It goes, here, you win. But you can make it so that they don't, and it's glorious. Because what you do is you make it so that everything that dies on your field has triggers that are worth a death jack when you add them all together. Oh, it's glorious. There, I'm done.
Are you?
Yeah, no, actually, one more Gwen thing. So, no. All right. Did I talk provisions yet? You guys might actually find this interesting as a general card game thing.
Go ahead. I'm going to pet the owlbear.
We've all played card games before, and I don't think this mechanic is in any other card game, but as a War Machine player, it'll be familiar to you. So in the new version that's coming out in October, they're introducing something called provisions. And what it is you build your deck, just like you would build any other deck, and you know have to have at least X cards and at most X. Actually, I don't think there's a most, you know, just like normal deck building. There's certain good cards you can only bring one of, and then the normal generic cards you can bring two or three of, but they added this thing called provisions, which is their balancing structure, which is that when you build your deck can be worth X points, and every card has a cost of Y points, and so in addition to normal card restrictions, you have the War Machine-esque choice of is this unit of 12 better than two of this guy at six, and so on, which I don't think I've ever seen in a card game before. And the Gwent players are all like, what a weird concept. And as a War Machine player, I'm like, actually, yes.
or even just not just War Machine, but like Warhammer Day.
Yeah. Like any minis game. Any minis game, right.
Any of them that has a point system is like, this makes sense.
I don't know any card games that do that. So it's really cool to bring it over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, cool. That's a good topic of conversation.
I didn't really have much to talk about this week anyway, so. I'm glad you brought up some Gwent. to make at least three people in our audience happy.
It wasn't High Command like that? High Command wasn't like that.
I don't
that.
Remember.
We
could all go back to our closets and look.
Yeah, I'd have to root around underneath all the old porn and dust. But
why? I guess it would be underneath my porn, too. Yeah. No, look at that more than I do High Command.
Well, why would you look at physical porn? You have the internet, right? And so I was done with
High Command.
I was done with physical porn.
Yeah.
Clear the history of my computer is so much easier with physical porn.
Sure. I think High Command, the cards, they had a casting cost, but to make your deck, they didn't have values, I think
there were certain things you couldn't have more of or something.
Right, but that's just your standard, like, limited, like in Magic, where some cards you can only have one, and by default you can have four.
Yeah.
You know, I
can't think of a card game with a flat point structure.
Well, that's going to be really difficult in a typical card game, because you don't have, in all of the card games I'm aware of, you don't have full information. I mean, even in Magic, the four-card limit is established that if at any time it can be demonstrated that you have five of one card that doesn't specifically violate that rule, you immediately lose.
Well, you could do that with the point value thing as well. It would be more difficult. Like, you couldn't just look at the board. It's not like you're saying, like, the fifth of something comes out, you go, holy shit, asshole.
Yeah.
But in a tournament, they could definitely have judges. You could submit a list, right? Just like you do at a War Machine tournament where the judges all do the math.
Yeah. But I don't want to fucking validate that.
Well, sure. I don't want to validate War Machine lists at a tournament either, but...
And that's why we like you.
And that's why people tolerate me, yes.
And that's why Keyforge is so great.
Said no one ever.
No. Oh, my God. Like, when that thing first came out, I was looking at their forums, and the amount of people that are like, this is great, and my eyes just started to bleed.
I'm going to really look forward for eBay once people start realizing individual unique decks are better than others.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing, because then people will get pissed off.
Well, hold on, but that would also entail people getting into the game.
People continue to buy Fantasy Flight products.
Final Fantasy miniature products. Board games are great.
Yeah.
The first couple months, Keyforge will sell reasonably okay, and then everyone won't give a shit anymore.
Sure.
Like, I can see a lot of people buying a deck just to try it. But, you know, how do you spend more?
How much is a deck? Have they said?
I think it's $10.
Okay, I could buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, right, and like we talked about last time, like, if I enjoyed the mechanics, I could definitely buy, like, five decks and just have it in a box, and when people come over for board games, we can play Keyforge as if it's a board game,
box,
right?
Yeah.
And like that I can see, but how do you have it as a hobby, right? Like, if I play Magic as a hobby, I can just buy new cards when stuff comes out, and I can build new decks and stuff.
Well, clearly, and this is a Fantasy Fight's plan, is that if you do it as a hobby, you buy 20 or 30 decks a week and cycle through them and figure out the ones you like best, and then buy 20 more next week, and then keep doing that.
Are there going to be enough whales?
Buy more.
Yeah, are they going to, like, lace the cards with nicotine?
Yeah, like you're really just relying on the whales there.
I mean, this is the purest form of pay to win that anyone has come out with. Without obviously looking at it. I mean, you don't just look at this, and it's not like they're selling. It's like, okay, here's a Black Lotus. We'll print one of them for you for $7,000 and just pay up. It's not even obvious like that. But it's like you look at the numbers on it. That it's like the level of gambling involved in getting a good deck in this is just phenomenal.
You're saying is they're going to get shut down for gambling at some point.
Well,
I'm sure they have really good lawyers. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's online gambling. But pretty much, I think a lot of places already attacked like collectible card games as a gambling.
And because you are guaranteed a physical product, like there's something weird about that. About the tangibility makes it not gambling like a loot box is gambling. I'm not sure the legal reasons behind that, but a Magic deck, a booster where you get like 10 random cards isn't gambling, whereas a
loot box
where you get 10 random cards is.
I think because they can argue that since one card is guaranteed rarer, if you are almost guaranteed your money back for the price of the booster if it's a standard booster price.
Yeah,
it's not always going to work out that way, but you can make the argument that you're not out if you wanted to vest.
But like a Magic booster deck, though, you are guaranteed at least the contents of what's in the card. You're going to get X amount of lands, you're going to get X amount of commons, X amount of uncommons, and then one rare.
Yeah.
So you know those stats going in, so I guess that's how they probably get around the
gambling.
But
a Hearthstone pack guarantees that also.
That's true. But Hearthstone is not... It's not in the loot box controversy as well.
Those are loot boxes.
Yeah. I mean,
those are loot boxes.
Technically, yes. It's not like Overwatches.
I think
CSGOs,
or
any of those other type of games that have an actual loot box.
Yeah, I think the other thing is like Hearthstone. You can argue it's also intrinsic to the game, as opposed to Overwatch. It's purely fluff. So
I don't think that's illegal I don't know. But because apart from being shaped like a pack in the graphics and shaped like a box in the graphics, there's literally no difference between a Hearthstone pack and a Heroes of the Storm loot box. They're both, you get five random things, at least one is guaranteed to be a certain rarity.
True, but
you spend either fake money or real money for it.
But the Hearthstone functionally changes how you play the game, whereas the Overwatch one makes you look pretty.
So it's not the function of the loot box, we're talking about the aspect of
the gambling. But his point is what you get into it. So gambling is okay if the stuff you get is a game mechanic as opposed to cosmetic, as you think the difference? Or is it
that's how the stock market works.
I think it's just that Belgium doesn't care about Hearthstone as much as they care about Overwatch, because Overwatch is bigger and more well known.
Well, Overwatch or there's
or
a lot
that, mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other. Overwatch is being used as the straw man for this.
Poster child.
Yeah, for this, because I mean they're really well known for it, even though it is,
and they didn't mainstream it.
Yeah, probably from CSGO, I would say, mainstreamed it more.
CSGO is where it started in earnest, but it was still just a gamer thing.
But that's...
Whereas Overwatch is where the world became aware of it more.
I beg to differ that, because the...
We are not judging.
You are a gamer, right? My point is, like, to us...
Oh, to the world.
Right, that's what I'm saying. To gamers, CSGO, I agree with you, that's where it became a thing.
And that's
in
where gambling
our,
really
in,
came into
in effect. Our circle. But grandma didn't know about it until their Overwatches came along, and it became a more well... That's when the industry... Well, and then, of course, Battlefront had to shit the bed for everybody.
So Battlefront and just about everybody else out there. I mean, well, NBA 2K... you probably could say FIFA was one of the first ones that really utilized it.
Right, but what I mean by shit the bed for everybody, I mean shit the bed for all of those loot box people, because they weren't in trouble. They were getting away with it until Darth Vader cost $10,000 to get.
Correct.
That is what ruined it for them all. When Hawaii is looking at banning you, and that's what ruined it for all of them.
Yeah, it's funny though. It's funny and sad though that the one at least I feel with Overwatch as being the less intrusive out of all the loot boxes out there. It doesn't change that it's still addicting and.
Well, I mean, as far as the addicting thing, I mean, this goes back to, I mean, the Diablo style of games going down to roguelikes and such. And it's like, how many people play Diablo over and over again when the entire reward mechanic is completely random?
Right. But except for the first year of Diablo 3, I can't throw money at Blizzard to get me a set.
Right.
And so you can be addicted to the game, but you're not going to ruin your kid's college fund because you are addicted to doing Pindle runs.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm saying that, I mean, this mechanic of building a game around operant conditioning is not new. The idea is that at some point they decided that instead of a Skinner box, it was a slot machine.
Right. And I think a slot machine is way more predatory than a Skinner box.
Yeah.
And that's the issue is Diablo's a Skinner box. Overwatch is a slot machine, and one of those bankrupts people.
It's a Skinner box.
BF Skinner. Games like Diablo. Yeah. But yeah, Skinner did a thing with rats where there was a lever and it gave them food. And, and if it did it every time, they would just hit it when they were hungry because they knew it would give them food.
Okay.
But then he made it so it randomly gave them food 1 out of 100 times. So even if they weren't hungry, they just flailed on it constantly. And even if they had a pile of food, they'd still flail on it because they never knew if it would give them food.
Sure.
And they just became addicted to it. They did nothing but sit there hitting that lever.
Yeah. Okay. The interesting thing is that, I mean, if you have the button that rewards you, you get bored with it quickly. If you have a button that rewards you every 100 times you press it 100 times when you want something and then you move on. If you have a button that randomly 1 out of 100 tries gives you a reward, you'll get addicted to it. If it's 1 in 10,000, oh my God. It's like you're going from like nicotine up to crack cocaine levels. And I mean it's well understood in the psychology literature that if you have randomly dispersed stimulus for something, it is more addictive than anything else.
Who here remembers Earthbound for the Super Nintendo? Anybody? Earthbound? Great game. So I have it on the SNES Classic, and right now I'm at the point of the game where there's a dungeon, and in that dungeon is an enemy, and that enemy has a 1 in 126 chance of dropping the only weapon that one of the characters is allowed to equip, so I sure have been killing that enemy for 4.5 hours over the last week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been doing
WoW runs. I've been doing
WoW dungeons?
Farming raids in a 25-year-old Super Nintendo RPG, single-player RPG.
Yeah, I've killed the same boss 213 times on multiple characters for the past 4 years to get one mount.
There's your Skinner box.
I do drive it a lot now.
And if really that guy cool. gave you a mount the first time you killed him,
we would not know its name.
No, actually, I would. I'd still be riding it around now. But
yeah, that's less so. It's less the mount and more like if there's commodities. You know, like if there's like some rare like gold or something in the game that's generic but is rare drop from a thing, and so you just do raids to stock up on that shit.
Yeah,
that's more what it is. God damn, Starman supers won't drop my fucking Sword of Kings. Assholes. And I know I've killed more than 126 of them. God damn it.
That means that at 126, you've only got a 50-50 shot.
I'm well aware of that.
So you take 50 coins and then you flip them.
Yep.
And then that's 50-50.
Yep.
Okay.
Gornis in chat says you don't have to spend any money on Hearthstone if you don't want to. It takes a lot more time to get the gold through daily quests. That's 100% true of things with loot boxes as well.
That is the equivalent of the dealer saying the first hit is free.
Well, no.
The dealer saying the first hit is free is the intro 5 packs to get used to the splash screen.
Well. No, it's the dealer saying if you wash dishes for 17 days, we will give you a token worth one free pull on the slot machine.
Yeah.
Or you give us $100.
So I guess there's another aspect of these type of games, though, too, that have loot boxes. It's the games that are made worse on purpose. So they get the people to go and buy loot boxes.
By which you mean all of them. Of the games.
Well, I mean, Overwatch is entirely cosmetic.
You would earn whatever the commodity is for loot boxes much faster if you couldn't spend real money on them.
Yeah. No, but
Andy's talking about functioning.
I'm talking about the functioning gameplay itself. Yeah. Like, Like
Battlefront.
Shadow of War.
Sure.
Shadow of War, they made the end part of the game so you had to grind it, and they made it so bad that then they were dangling, hey, you could just give us $5 or $10 and you can have a new shiny orc. But that's predatory as compared to Overwatch, where their gameplay is the same.
Andy, that can't be true. Because if that was true, when they took the real money loot boxes out of Shadow of War, they would have had to rebalance the entire game around the fact that the grind was no longer fun. And of course that did... Oh, wait, no, that's exactly what they did. Never mind. That's literally exactly what happened.
Also see Diablo 3.
Also see Star Wars Battlefront 2. Yeah. Also see every single one of them that claimed that, oh, you can just grind. Oh, wait, look, now that you have to grind, the game is terrible. Also... Yep. Our game is terrible. If you give us $20, you won't have to play it anymore is a pretty shit fucking advertisement for your game.
Yep. So like NBA 2K, the newest NBA 2K is that like that too. I know FIFA, they're fighting that too.
The pay for players.
Yeah. Why would you play a game if... I don't know.
You don't have to play it. You can pay them for the privilege of not playing it. Yep. You give them $60, and then when you don't want...
You pre-order it for $75.
You pre-order for $75 so you can get the whole game, because $60 only gives you two-thirds of the game. And then you season pass for $30, and then after you get your $100 game, you're allowed to pay them $100 more to not have to play the game.
And also so you get your GameStop exclusive.
Correct.
Yep.
And now you also get the mic now. No.
And you get a pit in another game for all of that. So, I mean, you're forgetting some of the value proposition here.
You know what we can do at this point is we could say we're going live and then just start streaming a Jim Sterling episode.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. I've been thinking about Jim Sterling a lot recently. Yeah. So I've been thinking about trying to find out where he's wrestling at and go and watch one of his wrestling matches. Because he, little clips.
So adorably bad.
The little clips that he shows. He definitely can't wrestle very well. Nope. He does. It seems like he's putting all of his heart in it, which is awesome. But I enjoy the type of character that he is as a wrestler. I love the seething heel, and that's what he is.
The fact that some clips show him actually wrestling shocks me, because I just assumed he would be a pallbearer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
the vocal.
Yeah.
The voice point. Yeah. Oh, he's great. Should check out Jim Sterling. He's... Pretty much everything that we've been talking about here has been repeated, or has been
touched upon
by his Jim impressions,
Jimquisition.
Jimquisition is a thing. Ah, yay!
I had Devil seen some of the Jimquisition, but I didn't realize he was also a wrestler.
He just loves wrestling. So some independent little mom and pop thing, you know, with nobody famous, and you know. To be brutal, nobody who's gonna get anywhere famous. Like, this is definitely like not even AAA minor league baseball. This is just like, okay,
they might get someplace.
Some of them might, you know, they're trying.
Sports, farm league.
It is farm league wrestling. In high school auditoriums with 20 people watching them, like that kind of thing. But they contacted him and they're like, hey, bro, come on, come. Do it with us. And so he did.
Well, it's kind of like a garage band, like a cover band. That's what I would consider the type of wrestling there is. You know, they play good music, but they're not going to be doing anything else original.
Mm-hmm. 1 out of 100 of them will get lucky, but currently they're not even like playing at a state fair. Correct. They're playing at block parties where, you know, your son knows the bassist, so you throw him $50 to play at your block party.
Correct.
That's the level they're at, which, again,
I mean, that cuts really close to home, because that's how I ate my senior year of college.
Yeah. And it's not like we're any higher in the felt realm of podcasts. Sure. It's not like I'm bad-mouthing anything. None of us are going to be radio stars.
Wait, what do you mean that high? Are we getting slipped $50 and nobody's telling me?
Andy?
No. No one's slipping me anything. I got a domain to renew as well, too.
Nathan.
I was like, Andy denied it. I didn't. I've been milking you shitheads. Milking you like an Asian woman turned into a snake.
But when God he was damn it. When he was talking about when he was getting his outfit God made as well.
You're welcome.
So there was a character in the WWE called Stardust. Which he created a character. Oh, he basically mimicked his character after him. Called Stardust, and decided to go with the full body.
A lot of spandex.
A lot of spandex. And Jim Sterling is not a small man.
No.
So if you can imagine that, and then his face is all painted white.
Stardust is great. Well, and it wasn't just for the heck of it, because he was, like, the WWE was, like, suing people for, like, copyright infringement for nothing. Like, there was just, like, I don't even remember what it was, but so he's like, well, fuck you, I can do this legally, and there's nothing you can do. So he did a video specifically to taunt them about they couldn't sue him over Stardust. And these people like, hey, you have spandex and are semi-famous, come wrestle with us. I forget what the actual issue was that he did the Stardust originally. I know that it was something along those lines, like copyright strikes. Or maybe it was
I think it was just copyright strikes.
He had, like,
I
think footage it was from WWE one of their games. Well, no, it was...
Or WWE was, footage, like, from his game.
Yeah, he did a footage from a WWE game, and they did a copyright strike. And he was like, fuck you then. Sue me for this.
Yeah, YouTube is annoying with its automated copyright shit.
But I want Dan to talk more about Nagini.
No.
To what?
Fair enough. Nagini.
What?
Nagini.
I don't know.
This is one
Voldemort.
Of
Voldemort.
This is one of those times that I relish the fact that I don't know a goddamn thing about the Harry Potter world, and so I'm going to leave it that way.
You know how there's a bad guy named Voldemort?
Mm-hmm.
You know how he has a big mean snake sidekick named Nagini?
Nope.
Okay, well, he does. He has a big, mean snake sidekick.
Okay, the only thing I know about Voldemort is that he has no nose.
No, you also know that he has a big, mean snake sidekick called Nagini.
It is a very important plot point in books.
And you probably know this as of 30 seconds ago.
Okay, I know. Okay, I know. Okay, he has no nose, and he has a big snake. He has
a big, mean snake sidekick named Nagini.
Are also actually related. But
yeah. Also, when he got his body back to recover, he had to he milked the snake.
Well, no, Wormtail milked the snake.
Wormtail milked the snake, which anybody who knows anything about zoology knows means to get the venom out of the snake's fangs. They don't have tits. But concept art from the fourth movie had the snake with tits actually breastfeeding him like Romulus and fucking Remus. But whatever. Giant snake.
So it's a tit snake.
It's a tit snake. Hey, guess
what? Coming back to Nagas.
Coming back to Nagas and Nagini. Nagini, by the way, being a Southeast Asian, a la like India and Pakistan term. So Nagini has been cast in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them 2 as a Chinese woman.
South Korean.
Okay. South Korean. Even further away from where the term Nagini actually comes from. Yeah. So it's actually an Asian woman who then turns into a snake and is literal property for Wizard Hitler, who, drinks her milk to get his strength.
And then gets beheaded by a 17-year-old boy.
And then gets beheaded by a 17-year-old boy. But, that's the kind of shit J.K. Rowling does instead of putting gay Dumbledore in the story where him being gay is the most important plot point.
Okay.
She's like, yeah, I could do that, but instead, here's an Asian woman in a cage.
So that would explain your post, and that would explain my confusion about that post.
Yeah.
Because I was like... So what's wrong with this here? She's one of the his Horcruxes. Okay, that weird. Okay,
I mean that is also true. But
yeah.
Yes, that is also true. But
I'd say the only rebuttal I have is the actor who's playing, I think, young Dumbledore did say he had zero scenes with Johnny Depp. So who's playing Grindelwald? So that may still come to pass I agree with the meat of what you're saying.
The reason that he should have zero scenes with Johnny Depp is the term that he used in the books, which was "I could not move against him." So he can literally say, "Hey, there's a conflict here because we dated. Somebody else has to deal with this." You can just make an Asian woman into a monster and have her be owned by a white man. That also works.
And the creepy wet nurse thing, too?
Also, yeah, sure. Creepy wet nurse thing.
Okay.
But at least she's not transsexual because J.K. Rowling hates those.
Okay.
Colin Farrell, he is no longer part of that series?
Correct.
I thought he was in... So this is the third one that
they're... This is the second one. Colin Farrell was the bad guy in the first one.
Until he turned into Johnny Depp.
10 seconds before the movie ends, he goes... and his face turns into Johnny Depp. And then the movie ends.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Yeah, for no reason at all, his face changes into Johnny Depp's face.
This time, I stopped caring about the Fantastic Beasts series.
I had to stop. Yes. I had been like...
I heard the first one was really good. It is passively
mediocre. Okay. But no, I
think
guess,
I'm less likely to defend it because it was not a cherished literature for my growing up.
Sure. I guess the only possible explanation for the face change is maybe if everyone else in the mythos knew that the evil guy looked like Johnny Depp, he was using a disguise.
Correct. That is the explanation.
Okay. But, you know, hey. But, yeah. So, literally 10 seconds before the movie ends, he just changes from Colin Farrell into Johnny Depp. Oh, spoilers. Into Johnny Depp.
And it's
so
4 years Johnny old. Depp. Fuck. Yeah. Okay. It's past the statute of limitations.
Yes.
Hmm.
But, obviously, you know, because... you know, it's a children's property, and they don't want anybody tainting the mythos and everything. They recast Johnny Depp because he's a serial wife beater.
Oh,
wait, no, they didn't sarcasm do that. No, they again. Didn't do yeah, that. Sarcasm. No, they just recast. They just fired James Gunn instead.
Yeah, yeah, but then they're still going to use his script.
Correct. Correct.
Gordon says he feels like he needs more alcohol for this conversation. Have you listened to our podcast before?
Everything needs more alcohol.
Yeah.
You just need more alcohol for life.
Yeah.
Should I bring...
This is Wisconsin. Next, that's how we cope with the existential terror of living in 2018.
Next week, should I bring up the mini fridge and then put it up here?
We need a fucking keg.
Well, it's... I mean, I can
This is get, Wisconsin, man.
I can go and get a keg, and then we can modify mini fridge to house said keg.
Fair. I mean, I have definitely brought plenty of alcohol here.
Yeah.
Although usually, like, you both take a sip and go, ah, that's okay, and then I drink an entire bottle of mead on air.
Mead is just too sweet for me.
I mean, the way you drive home, it's
the Viking blood wasn't.
Yeah.
The one with the hops and hyacinth and everything.
Yeah, that one was good.
Yeah, whatever the last one you brought, I liked.
Yeah.
I actually drank some of that. Yeah. Derp, derp.
Yeah.
Why...
So, I mean, that's what we need just as a standard, is a keg of Spotted Cow. It would go quite well.
Oh, and so War Machine Weekend is coming up soon.
Speaking of alcohol.
Yeah,
speaking of alcohol.
Yeah, the last time I was at War Machine Weekend, Tim Banky tried to kill me with Canadian whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tim owes me some Canadian whiskey.
Yeah. I mean
last War Machine Weekend, I got Canadian whiskey from Aggie. From Tim.
No, Tim was the one trying to kill me with it, but what he didn't realize is that I grew up in Kentucky, and so I'm immune to whiskey and beer for living in Wisconsin as well.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, just alcohol in general, most of us are pretty immune to that.
Aggie was adorably drunk when she was giving me whiskey. It was adorable.
So we got...
Oh, and yes, and it was very good mead. I'm responding to Gorna saying, I've also given three of the four of you a bottle of mead. Yes, I still have your bottle. I was going to bring it back to War Machine Weekend to return it.
Obviously, I can check on the shelf life. I'm sure it's fine.
Barbecue sauce?
Yeah, it's sitting down next to the two bottles of the rum that I have down there. I should actually bring up the rum. I could get rid of it that way. Just having troubles finding things to mix it with. That I would like it.
Speaking of barbecue sauce, I almost killed two of my best friends from high school. Instead, I just left their home and drove up here. So they're
like, they bring up Alabama barbecue sauce?
No. What they did was yesterday at a board gaming thing that I was doing down there, we were explaining sous vide to some people there because whatever. And the person whose house I was at has a sous vide machine. So for dinner today, which I unfortunately couldn't stay for, he was sous viding some steaks.
Like you do.
Yeah.
So he had the temperature set at 133.
Strike one.
Yes, yes. And the other person was getting a fresh bottle of A1 steak sauce out of the pantry.
Ugh. Oh.
Yes. And I saw both of those things happening. I'm like, okay, love you, bye. Although I guess if you're going to cook it too high, I guess you might get the steak sauce.
There is one use for A1, and that is actually
those
two
were
uses.
Two mistakes that were solving each other.
Correct.
Steak fries.
Well, steak sandwiches.
Steak sandwiches, yeah.
Or if you're mixing it into a ground beef recipe.
Sure. Sure, I could see that. Put it on.
However, fries, both of those things are tangentially related to steak.
Also, sexy food play. Like instead of whipped cream, just dump A1 steak sauce all over the nipples.
I don't know. Too much vinegar, that might burn.
Well, you know, BDSM food play.
Yeah,
hot sauce right on the junk.
Like I could barely take the
sriracha
smell
on your crotch.
That would just be like that's a very overpowering smell.
Nipples don't smell that bad.
No, no, I'm talking about the with steak sauce they would.
I was proud of sriracha on your crotcha. Yeah. Steak sauce is good on a lot of things.
Except steak,
correct. Yeah. Like, there's a list of things you shouldn't put steak sauce in. And, like, steak and dairy products are pretty much that list.
I'll argue against some of the dairy products.
Okay, a milkshake.
Okay, yes.
Are you talking about a U.S. milkshake, or are you talking about a milkshake from the U.K.?
The United Kingdom Belgian chocolate milkshake that Keith got in the airport yes. that he described as like year-old watered-down Yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
It was great hearing Keith talk about how he had the channel as inter-American.
Well, I remember Jim and Brian end up going to the place that's right next to Pegasus. That it wasn't always the Steep and Brew.
Oh, the place before that?
Yeah. But it was
TCBY.
It was even a place before. I think maybe even before then, okay. too. But it was like an ice cream place, and they got a milkshake, and they came out, and it was like the runniest milkshake ever. And I think they both dumped it out next to their car and then just drove off.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, some savory cheeses might be all right with a steak sauce. In my brain, I was thinking of like a milkshake or like
yogurt.
Or yeah,
well, actually, you know,
yogurt steak sauce. What?
Yeah, that's my point. That was the point. I was doing bad things.
Actually, that sounds like British Indian food.
Yeah, it does. I was going to say that's basically you.
No, but that's not with steak sauce. That's with like a spicy curry. Steak sauce is so thick and sweet.
British Indian food.
Fair. Because yeah, British Indian food is like American Mexican food.
I mean, isn't A1 just a cheap knockoff of one particular style of British brown sauce anyway?
Yes. Counterpoint, I will put Worcestershire sauce in everything.
Wait, how do you say that?
Worcester.
Worcestershire.
I say Worcestershire. That's my version of it.
Yeah, Worcestershire.
Sure. I get a fourth syllable in there personally. Worcestershire sauce.
I just figured out the episode name, so that's...
You figured out the applesauce name? What?
Sure. The episode name.
Oh, are we going with Sriracha and Sriracha?
Nipples don't smell that bad.
That was weird, because I was talking about nipples, and you're like, I can't stand the smell at all in the first place.
Yeah, I know.
What is wrong with your nipples? They smell fine to me.
Oh, it's because they have A1 on them?
Yeah. Well, you do while you're sleeping.
Just imagine the pores just sucking that off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Vinegar cleanse.
Basically just using it like tanning oil, just rubbing A1 all over your naked body and just braising out in the summer sun.
No. I've actually, pretty much my whole life, I've never liked A1 soup steak sauce.
It is. Just, yeah.
Well, for one thing, number one, you can't just get a little bit out. You're like, I'm just going to put a little bit. You're like, fuck, there goes my food. Yeah.
Not my dinner is steak sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to do the thing where you get like a little ramekin over on the side and try to dip into it. But yeah, it's very heavy, very strong flavored.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ramekin is those little the little metal cups for dipping sauces.
Ceramic, usually. Okay. But
yeah.
I didn't know there was actually a name for them. Thank you. My vocabulary has improved.
Yeah. It's culinary stuff. There's a French name for everything.
Okay.
That is true.
And most of them are bad.
Mise en place. Mirepoix.
So War Machine Weekend. Those are a couple
French culinary terms for
I say, we can talk culinary or we can talk Gwent.
Well, I'm fine with culinary, too. I mean, that means food and it makes me hungry. And
deck building is the mise en place of Gwent.
You know what?
This chair.
Sure.
I mean, it kind of is.
Is right. That's which is why I want to hit him with a chair.
Mise en place is the prep work before the actual cooking begins.
Oh, is that when you're like doing your psyching up?
No.
Training montage? That's the French term for training montage.
What is the Islanders chant thing that they do before?
Oh, the haka?
The haka, yeah. You do the haka before you start cooking. Yeah. Okay. Like, what's that noise in the kitchen? It's like, I'm getting ready.
I am cowing the food. I'm going to fuck you up, sandwich. Come on, bitch. I'm making the hell out of you.
It's the turkey just sitting. Yeah. Defrosting in the sink. Like, you can't wait.
Well, you can defrost food via microwave or oven or running water or screaming at it.
And that actually is not the least effective way of defrosting it.
That's true. I mean, technically, it'll eventually work.
Like I said, you That is not the least effective of the four ways of defrosting a turkey you mentioned.
That is true. Well, Andy, somebody in chat wants actual War Machine talk. Is that better or worse than Gwent and food?
I think Andy was still trying to do announcements.
Yeah, I'm still trying to make it through
War Machine weekend, game hall. Well, hold on,
I got a tournament I'm running next week.
Nobody and cares.
This coming weekend, I have a tournament running.
This Saturday?
This coming Saturday,
October 6th.
Oh, please tell more.
It's a 75-point tournament. Rick originally set it up. I'm just running it. That's about it.
Any special rules?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think there's any Rickisms in this one.
Okay.
I mean, you get to choose any Rickisms.
I'm not choosing any Rickisms because I just want an actual event.
Is it set up on Conflict Chamber yet?
Yes, actually, I think.
Okay.
Okay, yes. I will have to talk to Rick about that. I assume that all that stuff is going to be handling. I was just volunteering myself, so I run the event so Rick can actually play in it.
Have you set up an event on Conflict Chamber? It's pretty easy now.
No, I have not, Dave. Can you show me how?
Yeah, you just log into Conflict Chamber and hit the button called Post Event and fill in the form. And
so you can't do it until after the event's over?
No, you can do it before.
But you said it has to be post event.
Bam. Bam. Smack him. Thank you. That required a smack, but simultaneously not that did not deserve the effort of me getting up to do it.
I know we don't talk about Gilbo as much on this podcast, though, but on October 20th, after I go to SteamCon on the 14th, because I'm going to be down in Nashville. But anyway, I'm going to SteamCon, and then I'm running a Season 4 demo days of Pegasus Games and invite all of you guys to come up and play games. So it's a demo day / play games, learn how to play Season 4 for Gilball.
Have all the people I hated from War Machine quit Gilball yet?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Both of them.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I can pretty much guarantee, because it's main. You don't like Kofoot? Is that what it is?
No.
Okay.
What? Everybody likes Kofoot.
No,
what a weird, monstrous question to ask. You hate Fred Rogers, right?
I was trying to figure out why you hated Kofoot, because like to hammer it down.
Not locally.
Jeremy and I are the only ones that are playing Gilball in our area. So
areas are sometimes larger than you're thinking, Andy.
Yeah. I know.
I'll just scribble that off in case the camera picks it up.
Actually, there was a different name I was thinking of, too, but I think he is
on the list.
He is on the list, but he was not number one on the list.
Sure. Yeah.
However, I'm pretty sure...
Probably one letter down, maybe?
That's requiring thought.
From the first letter of there...
Which direction is down? Sooner down? In the alphabet or later in the alphabet?
Sooner in the alphabet.
So what do you call it when you turn the air conditioning up?
Huh?
Are you making the house hotter or colder?
Air conditioner up would be colder.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you're turning the air conditioning up.
There is debate in this. I'm just saying there's debate in this.
If you turn the heat
up,
you're making it hotter. If you turn the heat down, then you're making it colder.
Well, somebody said something about a foolish consistency once.
But if you turn the air conditioning down, you're making it warmer.
Sure.
All that was said right. I know that. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. For my definitions.
But what if you turn it down next weekend as opposed to this weekend?
What is twice as cold as 40 degrees?
I don't know.
That's a question for physics.
Would that be 20?
What is twice?
Fahrenheit, Celsius, or Kelvin?
I guess what... Yeah, because you...
Also, that's assuming you're going to zero. So if it's Fahrenheit, would twice as cold as 40 be 36? Yeah. In which case, what's twice as cold as -3?
Yeah.
What does twice as cold mean, anyway?
That was my question.
See, this is why instead of saying turn the AC up or turn the AC down, you should just say, make it colder or make it warmer.
Right.
Those work.
Because if you ask somebody to turn it down, they'll say, turn down for what?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was just watching stuff from Little John yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Robin Hood?
No, LMFAO, those guys.
Yeah. I was making Robin Hood and Little John.
Oh.
Little. The big guy with the stick.
Yeah.
No. LMFAO isn't around anymore, right? They broke up.
No. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I did some research into them because I do like their music. It is catchy.
Everybody likes their music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really goddamn catchy.
I mean, it's like basically scientifically engineered to be catchy.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the Guild Ball Days on 20th. We're going to play that. Then there's Gamehole Con and War Machine Weekend. And then I'm not sure if we're doing a Who's the Boss this year.
I don't know, but we're definitely doing an America's Team Championship in January.
Woo!
Registration's open.
We have 12 teams.
I'm still recruiting for Team Conflict Chamber.
How many you got?
I have one solid yes, one solid maybe, and since they've had a bit of time to recover from the World Team Championship, I'm stepping up the recruitment this week.
Yeah.
So he's currently at 2 to 3 people.
I haven't got my email yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come you haven't invited him?
Yeah.
Because I haven't actually emailed anyone. I've just had people contacting me so far.
Oh. Well, I don't like to reach out. I like to be sought after. Yes. So, that's
why we volunteered you to judge.
That's my personality. keep in mind, if you still want to, is there a solos at all?
No.
Okay.
We dropped the solos.
Okay.
This is logistically too difficult to get viable turnout for that.
Yes.
So Jay has actually moved the Solo Masters prize to Las Vegas Open.
Okay.
Solos, because they can pull 120 people where we can pull like 10 for the Solo Masters.
Yeah.
So
no, I agree with that. I was gonna say is like I was gonna see if we can try to do the mercenary thing. If you have people in your area, we could do the mercenary thing, can't we? If you want to,
the only requirement is that you all be Western Hemisphere or provinces and territories held by countries in the Western Hemisphere.
So that's something that we should probably post up on the site. Then
is so you can be like from Guam.
Like a mercenaries contact or a mercenaries group that we can actually form for the ATC, where people can meet up and form a team.
So what about if you're a country that has territories in the Western Hemisphere?
No.
Okay, just verifying.
So French Guiana is out.
So if you're a Frenchman from French Guiana.
So a Frenchman from France can't come on the basis of French Guiana existing, but somebody from French Guiana could.
Okay.
Correct, the Tom Guan precedent.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Because he was declaring living in Texas at the time.
So, yeah, your home has to either be in the Western Hemisphere or be a province of a country that is centered in the Western Hemisphere.
Okay.
Florida's not included.
No, we let them up because I enjoy them bitching about the cold.
Also, so far, all of them have been very pro-Corn Palace movement, and so I approve of them.
Corn Palace.
I keep talking about us holding it at the Corn Palace instead of in Milwaukee.
Correct, and I added 2 additional votes because you were getting traction.
The Corn Palace is only, it was like $3,000 to rent it. It's amazingly cheap for the world famous Mitchell, South Dakota Corn Palace.
That would involve going to fucking South Dakota.
Right? Which is the best Dakota.
It's a Dakota.
It's the best Dakota.
It's better than East or West Dakota, yes.
It's got Crazy Horse. It's got Mount Rushmore. It's got the
Crazy
Badlands.
Crazy Horse is not even done yet.
It's got Waldrug. It's got the Corn Palace.
All I know, if I put a sticker of Waldrug on my car, it's going to be broken down over by on the Beltline. It's going to be forever abandoned forever.
More sadly, in addition to having the Waldrug bumper sticker on there, is I had a Spam Museum bumper sticker on there as well.
Yeah.
And those aren't free. The Waldrug bumper sticker, they literally give you for free just for stopping in at Waldrug.
Yeah.
Just like their world-famous well water. But the Spam Museum,
so say the 3,000 billboards.
Yes.
Driving I-80 is painful.
It's not boring. Minnesota is not boring to drive through, at least.
That's a lie.
it's better than
Kansas.
It's a polite lie.
No, Kansas has the stretch of I-70 that's 60 miles without a turn, one of the most dangerous places in the entire interstate system.
Maybe I was thinking of Missouri. Yeah.
So it depends on your opinion of driving in a straight line for an hour at 100 miles an hour with nothing to look at.
Yeah, I don't.
Some
like
people
that.
Approve of that. Some people disapprove of that.
No, I want something.
I like being able to just put a brick on the throttle and take a nap.
Mm-hmm. I like it when deer jump out in front of me. I said I had an improper plural version of deers or of deer. But I like when they jump out in front of my car, and then four Mountain Kings attack Jim in the head.
That was pretty funny. And then your window fell down.
Yep, because Jim broke my window.
It didn't even break. Like, it just went, like, it just fell into the door frame, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the glass didn't break. The whatever holds it up broke.
Yeah. That was pretty awesome, though. Yeah, four Mountain Kings just flying at Jim.
Yeah, that was a heck of an attack.
Wow, not including Nick has one less turn than we do.
And, like, 6 hours less of driving.
No, it's still 6 hours from Columbus.
Yeah.
It's only 6 hours from here?
Yeah. It's 6 hours and five turns.
7 hours.
Yeah, it's not that...
It's right off... I mean, it's right off the highway. You just go and you just have 6 hours of fucking Illinois.
Going Illinois vertically is interminable. Correct. It may only be 6 hours. It feels like
12.
Once. Yeah, the last time I was driving there, I got pulled over by a cop, and he said, yeah, it's like, I'm not going to write you a ticket. And I'm like, okay. And he said, yeah, and you won't have to show up for the court. And I said, okay, because I'm thinking to myself, and it's like I would anyway, because you're in fucking Illinois, and you can't do anything.
Also, then why did he pull you over?
I was going to ask him, and it's like, why the fuck are you just...
Are you lonely?
He probably knew, it's like... This fucker is bored. I'm going to lighten up his life.
Well, then you'll approve, David, because the entire way down to my friend's house and the entire way back to my friend's house, I used the I don't want to give you money lane, which they shortened to I pass. It's very convenient. If you don't want to pay the tolls in Illinois, you don't have to. You just go through those lanes instead.
No, no. At the same time, it's like they have that toll they have that toll gate right on the border, and the first I thought I was like, well, shit, it's like they're hitting you for $1.90 just as you're exiting the state, and then I thought about it more, and it's like, you know, being able to leave Illinois for $1.90 is a pretty damn good deal,
right,
because
then
I'm not in Illinois
again.
Anymore.
It's optional. Just use the I don't want to pay it lane. They have it right there.
God. Next week on Crippled System, Nathan discovers the mail.
Oh, no. They stopped sending me at that. They sent me that for like 6-7 years, and they kept making it be more and more expensive, and I kept throwing it away, and it eventually just stopped showing up. It's good
times.
Yeah, because
as it turns out, it's like the states don't extradite for that shit.
And now I'm just thinking of the scene in Blues Brothers when they're listening off his traffic report.
Now, this was so one time.
Congratulations, you're in the skamads.
This was one time I was driving with my wife in Tennessee, and we were going. My wife was driving, and she was driving rather fast, as she often does. And as we pass a cop on the other side of the highway, and we're going about 80 or 90, and he throws his sirens on, does a U-turn, and starts coming after us. And she says, well, what should we do? And I said, well, and it's like, we can pull off at this exit and then take a left, because normally if they're chasing you and they come out the exit, they'll take a right to try to find you. Or we can just floor it because the border's over that hill. And we floored it, and once we were inside of the border, the cop turns his lights on and gives up and goes back, because the Tennessee State Patrol, their jurisdiction ends at the state line. It is literally, you can cross the state line and sit there and taunt them.
Down, 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 and trucking.
Yep.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
So, chat mentioned Boston trapping you in their airport on an island with a toll road. For a job I had, I did training in Illinois, and the hotel...
Was in Boston?
Was in outside Chicago. And one exit south of it was where the actual place we were going for training was. It wasn't in that hotel. So all you had to do was go south and exit. The issue is there was no southbound ramp onto that interstate. So you had to go north, pay $1.90 toll, get off on an exit that costs 90 cents, get back on, and pay the $1.90 toll again.
Going the other way?
Going the other way.
Yeah.
To go one exit south. It was like a 10-mile drive that cost $5 to go half a mile south, because Illinois can fuck itself.
Yeah.
As I said, I would pay $1.90 to not be in Illinois.
I would, I don't, but I would.
I actually did not pay $1.90. I ended up paying a lot of money to leave Illinois. So as I was leaving Illinois, Jim, another Jim travel trip.
Maybe you should just not travel with
him. Yeah, it's probably
the Four Mountain King thing. Also, Jim's card wouldn't work because they're like, you're at in the normal state. It's like, yeah, and so they shut his card down.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah. But so we get off at the Flying J that's over by Beloit. Yeah. Then we always stopped at the Flying J for whenever we went traveling for Blood Bowl or whatever it was. And we got back on the highway because it was really late at night. And I got back on the highway going back down south and didn't realize it until we hit the fucking tolls.
It's like, that's from Dumb and Dumber.
I know. We hit the tolls and then had to turn around and then hit the tolls to leave Illinois again. Yeah. God damn.
Fucking
damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my wife's friends was coming down a few months ago, and she wasn't paying attention, so she got off on 151, and then she called us like, I was really confused why I hadn't gotten to your house yet, then I realized I was in the Dells. I'm like, how?
she was in the Dells by the time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because she just wasn't, she had been working all day and wasn't quite paying attention, and it was dark, and she took a left and a right instead of a left, and then...
Yeah, I...
You know, it happens, but I'm like, but how?
I've been in Arkansas because of going the wrong direction on a highway.
All right, you win.
My now ex-wife. Not for that reason, but...
You're going the wrong way.
I don't know.
We were leaving Texas, coming to there, we were heading up, and you're like, all right, go turn here, and I turn there, and we're just going deep into Arkansas.
I don't know. Being kidnapped, which is, that sounds like it, and being taken into Arkansas, I would consider that divorce.
Well, that's like, now I can no longer say I've never been in Arkansas. That's a terrible thing.
Were you married to your wife at that point?
Was
that a man act?
Depends how immoral the purpose had to be.
Yeah. Oh, and the statute of limitations.
Oh, I want to tell my joke now.
What? Go ahead.
Oh, but the punchline's ruined.
Oh.
That's okay.
Oh, yay.
I mean, all like four of our listeners might care.
No.
How many listeners do we have, Andy?
Huh?
I don't know about listeners, but people actually watching us.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the only ones who matter.
There's literally ones of people watching us.
Oh, shit, he clicked the wrong icon.
Oh, no, he's modding people.
Yeah.
He's modding people. Ah, Chris is watching.
Yeah.
But not commenting. That's hurtful.
Well, Chris is probably just listening.
While playing WoW.
He better not be playing WoW. He better not be getting ahead of me. Murdered.
I'm probably drinking, too, instead of commenting, which is really what you should be doing.
He should be drinking as well.
He's playing WoW.
Bastard!
But, yeah, he's got a puppy that that likes to eat. Likes to eat a lot of everything in their house. Yeah.
Living the dream, Chris. Yeah. Living the dream.
Drunk WoW while listening to a shitty podcast. Good times.
Yeah. Well, I figure I'm glad we didn't touch upon anything social or political that's been happening recently as well.
That might alienate Jesus Christ. Oh, God, yeah.
So we should go into Zappity Grumbles.
So there's this guy trapped on a desert island.
Yeah.
And he's there for years and years and years. I think David hasn't heard this joke yet, so I'm excited.
Afraid not.
Yep.
Just hit him with the owlbear.
So this guy's trapped on a desert island for years and years and years and years and years and years. And he's just on like one beach because there's just an impenetrable jungle that he can't get through to explore the rest of the island. But finally he decides he can't take anymore. He can't just live off of coconut water and sand fleas anymore. He's going to end it. So he just starts to swim out in the ocean just to drown. And he's getting out in there, and a dolphin swims up and pushes him back to shore. And then it says, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. It's, oh, my God, a talking dolphin. This is amazing. He's like, I am no ordinary dolphin. I am actually a god of the sea. I am all-powerful. I live forever. I can grant wishes. I can get you off this island. All I need from you is a sacrifice. An animal sacrifice, and I can get you off this island. And the man's like, there are no animals here. There's, like, I've been living on nothing. Like, you know, do sand fleas count? It's like, no, it has to, you know, we have with the blood and everything. So I need you to go to the other side of the island and get me a seagull. They rook over there. They lay egg. That's where they live. So go get one, bring it back to me. You'll kill it. I'll get you off the island. And then it's like, well, I would do this for you, almighty sea god. But I can't get to the other side of the island. I've tried. The jungle's impenetrable. And the dolphin says, well, I know where there is a pathway. I can tell you where it is. You can use that to get to the other side of the island. The only issue is that it is guarded by a lion. Mm-hmm. But at 2 in the afternoon every day that lion rests because it stays awake guarding that pathway the other 23 hours of the day. But for an hour, it rests from 2 until 3. But it's a light sleeper, though. Be careful, because even though that's when it rests, it's not like it's some magic all the way down sleep. You got to be careful not to wake it up. So the guy follows the instructions. He finds the pathway. He's going along, and sure enough there, it's like 2:45, whatever, a lion's sleeping in the middle of the pathway. So he carefully lifts the leg over it, sets it down on the other side, holding his breath, lifts the other way over it, phew, doesn't wake up. Gets to the other side of the island, birds flying everywhere, just all over the place, just so thick he literally reaches out and grabs one out of midair and it snaps its neck and starts to take it back across the pathway. Lion's still sleeping there. Well, it's getting close to 3, so he better hurry. So he takes the one leg and he just puts it over the lion, almost sneezes, manages to stifle it. Brings the other leg over the lion, and just then 4 FBI agents jump out of the jungle and arrest him for violating the Mann Act, which is, of course, crossing a stately lion with a goal for an immortal porpoise. Yes! And that's a lawyer joke, because it's for lawyers, not about lawyers. Yeah, I know I told that once before, and I had the birds be puffins, and Katie Shea corrected me, saying they're not technically a type of gull, and I told her to fuck herself.
God, that was a very interesting moment of the podcast.
That was.
That
will be on the Greatest Hits album. Yeah.
But yeah, that was for the new listeners.
Awesome.
And David.
Thanks. And it pads some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we got some Zappity Grubbles. What is your... This is from Sean, who's Gornis, in the chat there. What is your favorite thing to do on a lazy day when you have no motivation to do anything at all?
Sleep.
Yes. Fucking naps. Naps. Oh, my God. Naps are the best.
They are.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I took a nap earlier today. It was awesome. It's also usually my third quarter of the Packer game. Chris also enjoys napping during the third quarter of Packer games.
I mean, why don't you sleep during the first half? It'll save you a whole bunch of anger management issues, then the second half of the game is actually decent. Well,
usually the first half is the decent part of the Packer game, and then that's when he goes into shuffle along, you know, hey, let's not try to lose this, guys.
We're ahead by 1 point, and it's the second quarter. We better start running the ball.
Yeah, run. Actually, their first touchdown was a rushing touchdown this time around.
Still.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, naps. Naps are the best. Sean also had mentioned that the white Russian he's drinking right now is dedicated to us. Should be a blind Russian, though. But
Blind Russians should have been your answer, Andy.
My.
What do you do on a lazy day when you don't want to do anything?
I mean, that blind Russian. That could be the cause, so not the effect.
There is a reason. I have watched enough of the show. What is the show where they all show up and tell them that they love them and they should stop drinking?
Intervention.
Intervention. I've watched enough of that.
I was trying to think of something funny to say, like The View or whatever, but I couldn't think of anything.
The View would work for that.
My lazy day thing is Kraken and Coke Zero and random Wikipedia articles about history.
Oh.
Wikipedia Roulette is the best.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say is the reason why I don't actually own any of the components of a white Russian in the house here. And the reason why is because I've seen too many episodes of Intervention or any kind of court TV shows. My desire to be on them...
Only in the audience.
Yeah, only in the audience. Which they've only shown 2 of our episodes so far.
I
posted it twice.
Oh, did you? You posted that it was coming up soon. I didn't see that it actually happened.
Yeah, and I posted it on... Yeah,
so where's the YouTube clip of you guys in the background having like comically exaggerated facial effects? No,
it's just us. The best part about one of the shots, though, in the first one that they showed was you could see Johnny clearly. You could see Nathan clearly. You could see me clearly. Raylene is just out of the picture.
Oh, that'll be Raylene's favorite thing.
She is not on it at
all. Oh, she will be so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I need to see that so I can show her and say, look, the universe protected you.
Why didn't Nick get auto-modded?
Nick got auto-modded.
because white trash is a slur.
Oh my lord! Go ahead.
Really?
And
yeah.
I'm gonna allow this. This is.
And okay. Next, and now Nick is.
Oh, okay. The auto mod was telling us we did things, and it was easy to misunderstand what it did. Yay, you can now use the term white trash in our chat room, and it won't auto mod it.
I'm, to be perfectly honest, I'm perfectly fine with white trash being used in there, because, yeah.
Can you guys try obscure racial slurs and see what gets through?
God damn it, we're not pew-pew.
No, but go like super obscure. Go like 1700s terminology for the Prussians.
Sure.
Fuckers.
Isn't that the blanket term for everything?
Any, yeah. Okay, I was joking. Please stop. The first try got through. We're done.
Yeah, no repeating what they.
I have examples in my head of other things I think would get through as well, and I'm not going to say it.
Sure. Sure.
Ooh, that's a more obscure one, though. Yeah. Cornices.
Yes, and yes, and now today's game is making Nathan uncomfortable with strange racial slurs.
Is it really? Oh, I'm not uncomfortable. I just know it's going to make other people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Mostly Andy.
Yeah.
Well, I could just ignore it.
No, well, mostly Andy, because Andy's personal information is attached to the Twitch account.
Oh, yeah. But not to those users. Those users are the ones who are saying that. It's not attached to Crippled System. Of course, I could make them all mods.
Cracker getting through surprises me, given that white trash was blocked.
Well, because Cracker, at least you can use it in terms outside.
Just like, you know, if they blocked certain words, you couldn't discuss suits of cards.
I bought some white trash bags.
Sure.
From Hefty, the company.
Is that for like burying dead hillbillies in?
Yeah, white trash bags. Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to go to the other color. Jesus Christ, Nathan. Why'd you put that in my head?
Don't you put that evil on me.
Put that evil on me.
What the hell just happened?
Andy's racist.
No.
When did we go to the South?
This Weird Al Immortal. Zappity.
Sorry, what? I'm still wondering why we went to the
South. No, shut up. There's no talking.
I thought of a mean joke, but it's at Weird Al's expense, so I won't say it.
So yeah, the Zappity is, what do you think of Weird Al playing with Weezer for their cover of Africa?
Well, there's another Zappity in Andy's hand, which is Weird Al Immortal. And
I don't know, and that too. Recent, and that he's 70, isn't he?
No.
60?
He's got to be in
his 60s. He's in his at least his
60s. He's in his 60s because he graduated from college around 80-ish because he recorded his first... He recorded like another one, Rides the Bus and My Bologna in his dorm room. Another one, Rides the Bus, was live on Dr. Demento, but My Bologna was recorded in his dorm room. So whenever that song came out, which was like, what, like 83 or something?
I thought it was earlier than that.
It wasn't the 70s. It was early 80s.
Yeah.
And so if he was like 20-ish, that means that he's 60-ish. About 60 now.
Yeah. He doesn't look it.
No, he doesn't. He looks very...
Yeah, but neither does... the wife beater we were talking about earlier.
Johnny Depp. No.
Neither does Runs From Explosions Man.
Yeah. I think that was the most interesting thing in the most in the most recent Mission Impossible movie. He was older than Wilford Brimley in Cocoon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe I'll try some Scientology stuff. It seems to do well with...
I mean, having a ton of money means you...
Oh,
yeah. You would be one of the people whose blood he bathes in.
Oh.
Like, not everybody in a cult gets to be, you know, at the head of the pyramid ripping the hearts out. You're not Mola Ram. You're a thuggy. At best.
I am an organ donor.
Correct.
No, Weird Al is amazing, and I'm glad that he still continues to do his shows and still continues to tour. But I don't see that really ending anytime soon.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
Also, if we're talking about the Weezer cover of Africa, can I just bitch that it was a terrible cover? Because the first time I heard it, it was on a shitty car speaker with the windows down, and I didn't realize it was a cover. Because
yeah, it's a shitty cover because it's just the song again. It's not a cover; it's them playing the song, which isn't the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, it's like on my car, the 3 out of the 4 speakers are dead, and I had the windows down, and it played on some radio station, and I was like, why are they playing this? And then it's like, oh, this is a cover by Weezer. And I was like, what?
Yeah, the one that it
has the same hook, and it's sung in the same style, yeah. So it's like...
A cover I forgot about... I'm sorry, Annie, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the one I saw was just the...
The live
stage where somebody is just holding up a camera.
They actually have a video now, an actual studio video.
Okay.
But the cover that I forgot about when I was listing good covers, and if I ever do my bracket, I'll have to remember it, is Gin and Juice by the Gourds.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening to that one on the way back up here. Just throw that out there.
I don't know. Did nobody in that thread, did nobody say With a Little Help from My Friends?
Yeah, Cocker versus Beatles.
Yeah, because the Cocker version is... amazing, and because I had heard that first, because of course I was a kid when the Wonder Years was on.
Well, meanwhile, the Beatles version of Twist and Shout is better than Mamas and Papas. Like they'd pay it forward.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, and then I heard the Beatles version. And it's like, what is this shit?
Cocker. I mean, Joe Cocker's fucking amazing.
Yeah, because Ringo Starr will be sad if his friend leaves. Joe Cocker will fucking die if you leave.
Yes.
The Saturday Night Live episode with Belushi doing his impersonation of him live next to him. It was so good. Was at least Johnny Cash is in there?
Yeah.
Several
people mentioned Hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind
bands. That's one of the universally accepted best covers of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
From Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
Reznor even agrees that's a better song.
Yeah. So I'm very confused. What do you mean? Because Johnny Cash didn't do a cover of Hurt. Trent Reznor did a cover of Hurt, and he managed to do it in the past. And his cover is not very good compared to the original by Johnny Cash.
Yeah, Reznor's comments on that I thought was great, because he was like, yeah, and it's like, because Ruben called him up and said, yeah, do you mind if I've got Johnny Cash here in the studio, do you mind if we do a cover of Hurt? And Reznor's like, sure.
Yeah, like, why would I say no to Johnny Cash?
It's like, why would I say no? And it's like, is anybody going to pay attention? Nothing's going to come up with this. It'll be okay. And it's Johnny Cash. And then the song came out, and he described it as like seeing somebody else with your girlfriend.
Well, that and he's basically said that that's pretty much Cash's song now.
Right? Yeah.
Just flat out.
It's not even just seeing someone with a girlfriend. It's with you. See, he pulls up on a motorcycle. She gets on the back. He drives away, and you just say, yeah, she's better off with him.
Yeah, he's like, I wrote this about my heroin addiction. You did it better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because his is a whiny guy. Life's bad. And Johnny Cash is like, no, life fucking sucks, buddy. And he's like, all right, you know better. Man.
That video, the video of there just still. Yeah. I cry at everything. We've established that. And I cry at that video. Just a shot of his wife on the stairs looking down on him there, because she died very soon after that video was shot.
And then he died.
Yeah.
It's interesting how much like that true love just kind of, you know, keeps people alive for so long, and then when one goes, that's...
Yeah. Mm.
There's another vote for Common People by William Shatner in chat. Thanks, Nick.
What movie would you like to be an extra in?
I thought we've conclusively established by this point that the stuff we enjoy watching, we don't... Well, I guess extra is not as bad.
Extra.
No, there's an extra in.
Yeah.
So we don't want to be in that universe.
Yeah.
I want to be an extra in Crank 3. I know it doesn't exist, but I want
it to
exist. Well,
so you just want it to exist. So I could be you're trying to backdoor it into existing by demanding to be an extra in it.
Yeah.
Bold move, gun.
Something, something, a porno... Haha.
Villanova's Dune.
What? Well, I just, there was the obvious. But yeah, no, I'll go with that.
Are there any Viking movies coming out so I can just pick one? So I can just play to type and pick one?
You can be in a Viking movie that already has come out.
Fuck Viking movie. You could be in, like, just a school drama, and then you're just the history teacher, but you're a Viking.
Yeah, my wife did order me is for my birthday, because I'm getting old, and B, because I'm just getting close to finishing my PhD. Bought me a tweed jacket.
You could be in Tommy Wiseau's Vikings.
I So are we actually living in the universe, or are we just cast in a movie?
You are just
an extra. No, I know I'm just an extra. Like,
if we're living in the universe Equestria, I mean, we're going to fucking My Little Pony.
Oh,
because
that's right.
Everything
you
else
here
we care about.
Yes. Oh, I wasn't here for any of this. But yeah, I'd say Star Trek, because they got it pretty good.
Star Trek would be okay.
Star Trek is not a bad choice either.
Hold on. Are we talking about older? I would not want to be in the new reboot of Star Trek. I would like to be in the more of the Next Generation, where there seems to be less thousands of people dying.
I mean, the thousands of people dying is rough, but apart from those, like, the actual standard of living in that future is really good.
Yeah. I would still say the Next Generation style, because that's it takes less of...
Yeah, with the
money,
replicator
the capitalism
yeah.
still exists in the newer... And they were reboots of Star Trek.
Capitalism still exists in Next Gen, but only one species, despite the fact that there's infinite of all resources. How the hell?
Ah, Ferengi.
How do replicators not just make latinum?
Ah, Ferengi. they probably made it so they can't.
Patent rights.
They just needed space Jews, because people can't not make racist stereotypes. And so they're like, here we go. Big-nosed, money-obsessed, monstrous people. Nobody will read into this.
Well, big eared. That's what I would consider
both.
I would consider them being more eared than nosed.
Ears, nose, and teeth. Ear, nose, throat.
God,
like that
it.
Type
prank
of
collar,
doctor.
Prank collar, prank collar.
They are problematic, is all I'm saying. But okay, just an extra. So it is a movie. You just get to be in the movie.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Then final question, well, which is,
oh, I said
yeah.
Dune.
Oh yeah, Dune. Said
Dune.
Yeah.
Tommy Wiseau's Dune.
I mean,
I would love to see Tommy Wiseau's Dune. It could not be worse than David Lynch's Dune.
I still like David.
I liked David Lynch's Dune too.
I did too.
And we enjoy that movie. It's a talented thing. It's terrible.
I was watching the most recent Red Letter Media review, and they were making fun of the movie, and they were trying to be funny, and they mentioned that it was basically like a David Lynch film because they were like trying to like project meaning onto some terrible shot. And they're like, yeah, it's just like a David Lynch movie. And I'm like, yes, unironically, it is better than a David Lynch movie. Like, you think you're kidding.
Mm-hmm. I just love that movie because you can tell the exact moment they ran out of budget. And it's about 50 minutes in. Because it goes from very nicely following the story with minor changes to David Lynch.
Yes.
And that's about the moment my wife hit me and walked out of the room.
We don't have money for space science. Do we got duct tape and two random animals? We're good.
All right, so final question here is, would you do something... So, I don't know what's happening. So.
Second, or circles, alternate episode title.
Oh, yes. We've already had that before. I'm almost guaranteed that we've had that title before.
Yeah, it must have been when Brian was still on.
Yes, most of the time. Would you do something ridiculous as an extra if given the chance to be one?
See, like being in a Dune movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Patton Oswalt in a fish suit once, but he didn't move through the entire
Wait,
scene.
He was in an Ubles film?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I did not know that was Patton Oswalt in Blubberella.
I don't think it was Patton Oswalt. No,
just said it was.
And for an entire party scene. I guess he was a fish.
I would not call that a party. Jinx, Dan, jinx. No, what you want to do is do something ridiculous enough that it's noticeable, but not ridiculous enough that it gets cut.
Correct.
Like the quintessential example is you throw a beer can at John Malkovich's head.
Correct.
And say, was it fuck you, Malkovich, or up yours, Malkovich? Whatever
fuck
it was.
You, Malkovich.
Because then you get extra pay and a SAG card.
I think it was heads up, Malkovich.
Was it heads up? Whatever it was, that guy got a SAG card for doing that.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, yes. Who wouldn't do something weird? If it got to stay in the film, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
If you're asking if I would try,
I would totally left shark.
That's a risk.
Shit up.
God, I love left shark.
Left shark was the best. I would totally left shark it up to be, because you know you could be really popular. I mean, who's a glorified extra? I mean, Boba Fett was a glorified extra, and he's got a fan favorite. Everyone loves Boba Fett. Except for me.
Wait, Boba Fett, his, brother from Arkansas?
Yeah.
Bubba.
He's no use to me dead there, Vader Bam. He doggy. I got me a rocket pack. Boba Fett, I guess he's in the top five bounty hunters that are on the Star Destroyer in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I mean, he
probably top five,
top six.
I mean, are there even six of them there?
Yes.
There's Dengar.
Yeah. IG-88. Oh yeah, there's Dengar, Bosk, IG-88, because Forlom
and Zuckus.
Zuckus. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, how did I remember Forlom's name? Who the fuck cares about Forlom?
Who the fuck remembers Dengar?
People remember Dengar.
All I remember is he was the guy in the bandages with my Star Wars toys.
Yeah, yes. There's like a lot. He's actually in the books pretty huge.
Oh, yes? No.
Yeah, Dengar and IG-88 are the two that they beefed up the most in the extended universe, I would say. Not counting Bubba Flett, who's no IG-88.
Bubba Flett?
Yeah.
NASCAR driver?
Yep. Bubba Fret. Boba Flex. That's a band.
Yeah.
Whereas BioFlex is an exercise machine equipment.
That's a Bowflex.
Oh, yeah, yeah. BioFlex was the parody one from SNL where the entire thing consists of there was a box with a genetically modified, like, ape monster, and you let it out and then tried not to get killed by it, and that was the exercise. It was pretty good. Arctic Circle asking in chat, wasn't there a reptile species there? We said Bosk. Pay attention. Bosk, who, of course, nerd glasses, his costume was a leftover Doctor Who spacesuit.
True. I'll take your word for it.
Similar to in They Live, the communicators they use are the tricorders, what was the term of the things in Ghostbusters? The little side things went up and went bloop, 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 bloop.
I know what you're talking
about. I know what you're talking about.
EKG meters. Yeah, those in Ghostbusters were repurposed as communicators in They Live.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I remember watching They Live after Ghostbusters. Yeah. I'm like, hey, wait a second.
Yep.
Also, there's a 20-minute fight scene about a guy telling another guy to put on sunglasses.
Yep.
A very over-the-top 20-minute fight sequence.
Well, I mean, if it's a 20-minute fight sequence, it's kind of by nature over the top.
Between him and...
I like that you said him without ever mentioning anybody. You're starting with a pronoun. Raylene does that same thing all the time when she tells stories.
I'm talking about Roddy Piper and
Because David, who else? Who else is in They Live?
Keith David. That's what I'm thinking of. That's, I said David. I almost said David Keith. And I'm like, oh, he draws the Max. That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. The Max is coming back, too.
Yes.
As a comic book.
Mr. Gone.
Yeah.
Man, that's a great old comic and the original TV show. So good.
But it got changed when the Pit couldn't be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so then we're off to recommendations.
Are we?
Yeah.
No.
I didn't see any more Zappity Grumbles. I can double-check Twitter.
If you're tired of talking about Star Trek Bounty Hunters...
Star Trek Bounty Hunters? There's not that many. There's the one that brought all the Tribbles on board. He was a bounty hunter.
No, he was a merchant.
Was he a merchant? I thought he was a bounty hunter.
Why would a bounty hunter be carrying Tribbles? He was selling Tribbles. It was Gum? Was Gum the one that brought the Tribbles?
I don't know. Why do you look at me?
Because you look like you know Star Trek.
Exactly.
Look at you, David.
Exactly. Yeah, we are sci-fi and you.
I am being typecast here.
You sure as fuck are.
Yeah. I expect you to tell us exactly what we're wrong on.
If you don't have, like, you look like you could walk into any Star Trek convention and they don't check for a badge because they just assume you bought a weekend pass.
You assume a weekend pass or you work there.
Yes.
Sorry, Dan. I could get away with that, too.
Dan's on Netflix. I thought he was looking up who brought a Tribble on board the Enterprise.
No, I'm looking at my recommendation title.
Oh.
Okay, well, if you guys are still working on the recommendations, I will recommend the game Salt and Sanctuary because I got through with the first quest of Dead Cells last week, and I decided I tried to play that a little bit more and decided, yeah, I just want to do something different because I did the hard mode for a little bit. I did the hard mode for a little bit, and then I did I decided instead of doing the hard mode, I'm just going to try to beat the game with a survival build, and I tried that three times. I was like, why do I hate myself?
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, so I decided to pick up a new game. I picked up Salt and Sanctuary, which is about 2 years old. It is 2D Castlevania Dark Souls, and incredibly derivative of Dark Souls, but it's also really, really good.
Is it like extremely difficult to get through? Is that where the Dark Souls come in, or is it basically where you're, you know, buying?
Well, so the way, when I say it's derivative, I mean you create your character, you pick your classes, which determines like your starting gear and some of the starting level allocation. When you kill monsters, they drop salt. You absorb salt, and then if you die, you drop your salt, and you have to go back to where you died to pick up your salt, or you lose it. And you can upgrade. You can upgrade and transmute weapons. And the level up system is interesting, but ultimately it's not nearly as meaningful as it looks when you first look at it. But still, it's like you basically level up and you pick stats, and sometimes instead of stats you can do things like extra potions or unlocking different armor or weapons. But it is almost directly a clone, a hybridization of Symphony of the Night and Dark Souls. Okay. It's really good.
I'd be interested in that.
Just don't expect anything groundbreaking in terms of game design, because it is very much, it is Dark Souls as a Castlevania game, but it's very good.
Speaking of Symphony of the Night,
yeah,
it's coming to the PS4 next month.
Awesome.
Yeah. Just saying.
Oh, and speaking of the PS4, them fuckers finally learned their lesson and starting to open up
Crossplay.
Crossplay for like, what?
Which means for 1 week we have to be nice to Fortnite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't look deep enough to see, because there's two different tiers of crossplay. And I'm not sure if they've opened up both tiers or just one of the tiers. So one tier is that I on a PS4 can play against you on the PC. Mm. That's one version of crossplay.
Yeah.
Level two is I can play on my PS4 and then play that same account on my PC. Is it the first of those two things?
It's the first of those two.
So you still can't play your Fortnite account on your Switch as well as on your PS4.
That's opening up, where you can merge.
But that is the second.
That one is going to be different.
Yeah, but that's going to be game for game, depending on how each game. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't, though. Sony blocked it for literally all games.
Correct. Yeah. I think they're unlocking both
options. But I mean, even if Sony allows it, it's still
obviously. But I wasn't sure if Sony was unlocking it all the way, and then it just became the game choice. Yeah, like Gwent doesn't allow you to do it.
It's exciting, at least for the folks that play Fortnite, which is not me.
And speaking of crossplay, but not really, but the word play will be in this sentence again later. Somebody pointed out that the person who gave them the tribbles was Cyrano Jones. When I said gum, what I was actually meaning to say was mud, because I was thinking of the character Harry Mudd, who comes up on several episodes of the original Star Trek, who I just found out while Googling to double-check that name, is played, there's our segue, by Rainn Wilson in the new series.
Okay.
Fuck yeah, Rainn Wilson is Harry Mudd. I might go watch Star Trek Discovery now.
I've heard Discovery's really good.
Well, it's got Rainn Wilson in it. It's got to be good.
All right, my recommendation, I think I recommended it about 2 weeks ago, but I'm recommending it again because I finally saw the season finale for it. Fucking A as humans, so much better of a show than Westworld. It is awesome. I highly recommend watching all seasons. I don't know where you can watch them at, but it's on AMC. You could probably stream it directly from AMC. But Humans is a much better show overall. Like the last 2 hours that Jim and I watched, it felt like it was 4 hours. There was so much stuff that was going on. Like shit, plot advancement. And like, fuck, 20 minutes have gone by. Holy shit. It's just really good. Overall, it's go watch Humans. Nobody else is agreeing with me.
No, we agreed last time.
I watch Humans all the time. You know, they're everywhere.
Yeah. I forget who it was, but somebody last year, or maybe it was you, or it was you, or it was somebody who wasn't either of you two. That's probably one of those three choices. Recommended the Ken Burns Vietnam thing. Mm-hmm. And I finally watched the first episode today, this morning. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. Where are you streaming at it?
Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, I mean, if you have 30 hours to kill.
No, correct. I can watch that when I'm doing WoW very easily.
Yes, actually, it is very good for that, because while it's a little more animated than like the Civil War one, you still basically can do audio only and get 95% of it.
But that's just a quick little aside. Yeah. But the thing I'm actually going to recommend is a little game called Overcooked or Overcooked 2. You played that?
I've watched a lot of it.
Because it's an Andy-style game. Like the four of us could play it on your TV and it would be an Andy thing.
It would be a game that I would want to stream with us because it would involve somebody doing something wrong and getting yelled at by everyone else. Or,
it is a 1-4 player game where you are cooks in a kitchen and like orders come in and you have to like make stuff and then put it out. And the faster you do it, the more money you get. And that's how you pass the levels. But the levels themselves get weird. Like you'll be on like two buses that are both moving and they occasionally touch close enough that you can switch what side of the bus you're on. So like one person can't get to the kitchen or to the oven and one person can't get to the counter. And so you have to hand it off and there'll be flowing lava because you're in a volcano. And of course, nobody wants to do the dishes. So the dishes just all pile up until one of you has to actually do the goddamn dishes. And it's one of those co-op games where communication is required to do at all well. So if you're going to stream it, you need to not communicate and be drunk.
Okay.
To start up us streaming video games, I would be all for it because I think our personalities would go very well with streaming video games. The other game that I saw, it's not a recommendation, but it's one I want to at least try with us, the Real Human Basketball.
Oh, okay. Is that the one that's like kind of like Quap, but with basketball? Remember Quap? It was Quap,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. 4-player Quap.
Yeah, like, but with basketball?
No. I mean, it's try human player basketball, or a regular human basketball is what it's called. So it's basically you play two little guys, four little guys, up to, I think there's 10. So you can have 5v5, and you all get into a giant machine, and you're all pressing buttons to try to move this giant machine around. And so try to score a goal.
You probably have this because it was a free PS Plus game within the last 3 years. Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time.
Because this sounds like this. It's very that. Because
that is you pilot a ship around, like rescuing people and fighting like alien spaceships and going through asteroid fields and stuff.
Yep.
But there's like your four guns and your thrusters and your shield and your scanner and your actual control to steer, not just the throttle.
Yep.
Like there's these like seven controls and each player can only be on one of them at a time. So you need to like jump out and run to the other thing to like do the stuff. So it sounds like that, but instead of flying in space, it's basketball.
Yep. We Need to Go Deeper, I believe, is a...
Oh, do we?
Well, it's a game, too, where everybody's on a submarine, and the submarine has got... One person is driving it, the other person is down in the engine room, adjusting, like, how much power things get. Guns also have to get power, too. There's a guy that's on the guns, guy loading up torpedoes.
But is there a person on each? Because what I like about Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time is that there are X players, and there are X plus three stations that you need to operate. So you can't just all stay where you are because then nobody's doing the shields or nobody's flying the ship.
Well, there's other things that happen too the submarine. Like the holes pop up, so you have to like leave your station to go plug up holes
and that's the same
battle things. I would love to start doing this on maybe like start doing it Sunday afternoons or something like that. Or maybe sometime during the week.
Yeah, but the PS4 doesn't have where you can also stream like what you're saying. Well, I guess you can. Yeah. You just have to hook up the microphones and stuff. Yeah. Voice chat. Yeah, it's just not camera.
Or I can finally pick up my other PC and actually start using a PC to stream.
How dare you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's coming soon. I've been working on trying to pay off other bills right now. So
soon, TM.
Yeah, Space Alert Basketball Edition.
You meant Space Team is what he meant to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Space Team. I'll show you guys a little bit of video of it if you want to see it. I shared it on my Facebook wall. I don't know if it got taken down, but it's entertaining. It's great. I'm excited.
All right, my recommendation is probably more accurately a pre-recommendation because I'm only a few minutes into this so far, but there's a Netflix series called Hip Hop Evolution, which is just the history of hip hop. So the first four episodes covers the 1970s through 1989. So just the very first part, and then season two is coming out in a few weeks. But it's just really interesting. Just it's a lot more complicated of story and history than I knew about. So
the history of hip hop.
Yes.
What is it called again?
Hip Hop Evolution.
Hip Hop Evolution.
It can't start in the 70s. I just double checked, and Rapture by Blondie came out in 1980, and as we all know, that invented hip hop.
Wrong.
Yep. Nope. That was the invention of rap. Deborah Harry invented rap.
1979.
No. Blondie, Rapture.
Is that covered in the?
Yes.
I was gonna say it's probably covered in the first episode.
Also, Rapture by Blondie sucks ass. Yeah. It's a white girl just talking arrhythmically.
It turns out
it might be Blondie's worst song. How is that a big hit?
Most early rap is not good.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, but
I'm not a fan of rap though. But it's always interesting to learn the evolution of things.
Well, I was reading something about it's not Dre, but it was another member of NWA was talking about how his youngest son is playing basketball at UCLA. I'm like, no, you're not that old.
Oh, yeah, they're old.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we're going to call it quits then. The whole podcast, we're done.
Yay! Mm.
This episode.
Sweet freedom.
This episode. Oh. We'll be back next week.
No. Joke's on you. I'll be dead.
Mm. I'm sorry, Nathan. We can't. You have to love your commute for a while more first.
If I keep predicting that I'll be dead before last episode, I'll eventually be right. Statistics support that.
Yeah, that's assuming that we'll be going on for many, many years.
Yeah.
Or
I just need to start living a more dangerous lifestyle.
Sure.
I need to get up to a lot more micro deaths.
A lot more micro deaths? What do you mean micro deaths?
A micro death is a 1 in 1,000 chance of dying from any given activity.
Sure.
So, like, for example, like eating a banana is like 0.01 micro deaths because there's like a 1 in 1,000,000 chance you'll choke while doing it.
Oh.
And so, all these activities are measured in what's called a micro death.
Mm. Well, you could run outside right now.
There is a micro death statistic to walking down the street.
Right now, go outside.
Is it raining?
Yeah, it's raining.
Oh, yeah.
Hard.
So it's two things that could happen there. One, hypothermia, because it's fucking cold outside.
Hypothermia.
Hmm?
Hypothermia.
I said hypothermia.
You said hypothermia.
Did I say hypothermia?
Yes, that's a different kind of death.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shit, it's raining.
Yeah, it's raining pretty bad. Which is not good. But anyway, thanks, guys.
Oh, micromort. Sorry, not microdeath. Micromort.
Also, if for Halloween, if you see people...
And it's 1 in 1,000,000, not 1 in 1,000. Sorry to keep interrupting you.
If somebody dressed up as Pickle Rick, you should tell them I love them in VeggieTales.
Yes.
I can't stop this.
Well, I'm trying to say, so walking 17 miles is 1 micromort. I'm trying to see if I can figure out rain specifically...
Oh, that is a beautiful phrase. Yeah, you could take up juggling.
Juggaloing.
We're still broadcasting right now, but yeah, that's actually... Somebody mentioned that they should take up juggling.
No!
As a chance, and then counterpoint, take up juggaloing.
I didn't see the first one. Yeah, you can be a juggling juggalo.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Juggling chainsaws? And Fanta.
Yeah.
Or Faygo, sorry.
Yeah,
I missed my F-word sodas. All right. Thanks, guys, for watching. We'll see you next week.